The Learn Me Something Podcast with your hosts, Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
My name is Rich, a Big Dick Plum. I am sitting here with Aaron, Big Dick Stewart. They call me Big Dick because my name is Richard and I'm large, and Aaron's just bragging. This is Learn Me Something, the weekly podcast that we talk about stuff. We talk about things that interest us.
That really kind of mostly interest us. We hope they interest you, but in the end, it's really kind of
honestly, it's something that during the week, I'm like, you know what? That's something I want to chat about. So we sit here and we chat about it. We talk, we joke a little bit.
My last episode specifically came from a pretty girl telling me that she'd been reading a book on breathing.
Is that right?
Yeah, kind of. That was actually the initial.
Very interesting.
Indeed.
I've got one this week, and this came from our Facebook page, actually.
Really?
It came from our Facebook page. We did the...
So one of our fans actually requested this.
I don't know maybe he's a fan or not, but he...
Hey, he's on our Facebook page. He must
commented
be a fan.
On our... We did the lynching.
Yes.
The lynching one had just come out, not recently, a couple weeks back now. And
our other best episode ever.
That was a good one.
That was
a good really one. Enjoyed that one. I liked listening to it a lot. But so we posted the Facebook page, and someone had mentioned that... They said the KKK was a Democratic Party. Well, it came from the Democratic Party.
Did we mention that in the podcast? Because I thought that was something that we talked about.
We talked
that
about
originally
the
Democrats were the ones that were the slave owners.
Yeah, and it was. Mm-hmm. And that got me thinking. I mean, I'm a political guy. You're a political guy. I'm
not
very.
Really, no.
Well, I am for sure. Okay, I mean, I'm not. I don't know if I'm a political guy. But I
try to keep up on politics, but in general, right? It's
I mean, I'm political. Like, I want to know what's happening in the world. I want to know where we're going.
Yeah, same.
I want to have a voice in that and things like that. So I get into debates a lot with people that are on the other side of me. And I try to have an open-minded debate and kind of, you know,
I prefer that versus the closed-minded debate.
Yeah. So during this recently, since Obama became president, a lot of it is racially charged. Yeah, surprisingly.
Well, see, I was going to say that since Obama became not president, it seems to have become even more charged, right? It just seems to have swung to now it's us against everyone.
The aftermath, for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we have this...
I should state there, we are Canadians, so we love everybody. So, you know, it's really just kind of the Americans.
We love everyone. Anyway, we're a little inferior of the Americans.
We hate everyone, but we love everyone. It's one of those.
Yeah. But I see these posts, Ann Coulter is a horrible, horrible person. You're familiar with Ann Coulter? Terrible, terrible person. And she makes these common posts and whatnot that the Republican Party is a party of Lincoln. And the KKK is a party of the Democrats. Mm-hmm. I read an article, and I'm going to start with this article here, written by a guy named Dan O'Donnell.
Okay.
And this is on the last page, by the way, Aaron, if you want to look at it.
Yes.
Because I just saw it today. And I'm like, I'm going to throw this in here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start with this. Dan O'Donnell has a blog called Common Sense Central.
Okay.
It's a picture of him smiling with the American flag in a formation of... F-15 fighters. That's his banner. So you can kind of get an impression of where he's coming from. He's a very right-winged blogger.
He likes the big guns.
Yeah, very American, like a Tommy Lauren type and a Bill O'Reilly and whatnot. Very patriotic. Mm-hmm. So he writes this thing, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to take some excerpts of it. So he says, the KKK was founded in Tennessee immediately after the end of the Civil War as sort of a social club for former Confederate soldiers whose influence quickly spread through the decimated southern states. Hmm. As Columbia professor Eric Foner wrote in his A Short History of Reconstruction, in its early days, the group was loosely bound by one main principle, launching a reign of terror against Republican leaders, black and white. Racism was, of course, a guiding principle, but not quite as guiding as the hatred of Republicans. The Party of Lincoln, the Yankees, who early Klansmen believed destroyed their homeland through what they termed a war of Northern aggression.
The war of Northern aggression was taking away their slaves, essentially.
It was attacking them. Continuing. In the time leading up to and the 1968 presidential election, the Klan's...
1868.
Sorry, I keep saying that. I've done that in every single podcast. Seriously.
I was going, no. We should make that distinction.
Listening back to it. Yes, and thank you for doing that, because in every single podcast, I said 19.
I was like, did I hear that right? Okay, I think I heard that right. Okay.
In the time leading up to the 1868 presidential election, the Klan's activities picked up in the speed and brutality. The election, which pitted Republican Ulysses S. Grant against Democrat Horatio Seymour, was crucial. Republicans continued programs that prevented Southern whites from gaining political control in their states. Klan members knew that given the chance, blacks in their communities would vote Republican, obviously.
Yeah.
Across the South, the Klan and other terrorist groups used brutal violence to intimidate Republican voters. In Kansas, over 2,000 murders were committed in connection with elections. In Georgia, the number of threats and beatings was even higher. And in Louisiana, 1,000 blacks were killed as the election neared. In those three states, Democrats won decisive victories in the polls. Mm-hmm. It continues, Democrats, not Republicans, not PT partiers, Democrats. And it seems Chris Hayes and Alan Grayson, who he started off writing this article about on MSNBC, and anyone else confused about the nature of the KKK's political affiliation simply doesn't know their history. Hmm. Now, Aaron, my good friend.
I'd heard that, and I thought that was just my dyslexia of you know, like, oh, Democrat, Republican.
Aaron, he's absolutely 100% correct.
Yeah.
There is no doubt in it. The person on our blog post that said the KKK is a democratic creation is 100% correct. Now, here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. Is that fact is taken completely out of context.
Yeah.
There is a bigger picture associated with this. So this podcast is going to be on the political switch from Democrat to Republican and how the two essentially switch platforms. And it's an interesting conversation because you have this actual fact, like the Democratic Party was the one that won as slaves. Jim Crow laws was the Democratic Party.
See, and that, right? And now everything has turned around completely, pretty much 100. Yeah. Like, and I don't know whether their stance, I guess abortion wasn't a thing back then. So it probably wasn't as much of a, right? And the gun thing, right? They didn't have M16s. So it wasn't as much of a concern back in the day when you had musket loading, right?
No.
Guns.
No.
But,
but it's an interesting thing because, when you look at the greater context, I mean, the political party, if you were to say, I mean, no one's lynching people and no one's is violent towards people.
Not in the
you
have what, 40, 50 years. I mean,
yeah. I mean, the last lynching was in 1981, which you talked about in the last podcast.
40 years, yeah.
But you still have, a lot of black people being killed by white police officers and a lot of voter suppression, I'd say for sure, which we're going to get into. And most of the people that you would associate with advocating for that or supporting those people would be Republicans. Mm-hmm. And people advocating for minority rights are going to be Democrats. Mm-hmm. So what happened? Why is there this switch? Why was the Democratic Party went from the party of the KKK to now the ones that are mainly black voters? And, and you know, most black voters and Latino voters and minority voters are going to side with the Democratic Party rather than the Republican Party. And the Republican Party, when you think of it, you're thinking about a lot of white people. There's other minorities in there for sure, but it's primarily white people. So what happened, okay? And a bigger conversation with in regards to like looking at the facts. Like I just recently listened to Joe Rogan's podcast. If you haven't listened to Joe Rogan, I love him. He's a great guy. And he had Megan Phelps on his podcast. Megan Phelps was from the Westboro Baptist Church. It was almost a 3-hour podcast. I listened to the whole thing and I recommend everyone do it as well. Joe Rogan, Learn Me Something, gave you a boost there. But it was interesting because
three of our listeners have now moved over.
15 of our subscribers. The benefit of listening people to a podcast that only has, you know, a handful of subscribers is you don't have to listen to our 8 minutes of ads before the podcast starts.
That is true. You don't have to skip
Joe
through.
Rogan had 8 minutes of ads.
Oh, at least. Let alone halfway through, he does the separate. And then there's,
But it was interesting conversation because she said, like, she absolutely believed that she was right. I mean, they were cherry picking pieces of the Bible and not looking at it at the bigger context, like cherry picking parts about how gays can't repent and how if a soldier dies, that's God's punishment towards the country, and how it doesn't matter how you say things as long as your message is pure. And listening to those podcasts and listen to her talk about it, they don't believe that they're bad people.
No.
They're just taking the facts that they know them and looking at just those facts and not the other one. So we have this political landscape right now, which is holy moly divided. I mean, I don't think...
And that's kind of the issue, I think, that we face more nowadays, is just kind of the us against them.
And that's the us very
against
true.
Them that's the problem, right? Like, if it were us working with them to try to make everything better, it'd be a different... But it seems to be this adversarial, and once you've chosen a side, you have to be that side,
and
you have to defend everything that that side does, or you'll be disowned by that side. And it just seems...
And it was very... I listened to that Westboro Baptist Church, or Megan Phelps talk about. That's the same thing. I mean, you talk about... I mean, I have good friends who are Republicans and diehard Republicans, and we're not really that close anymore because I can't communicate with them because we start talking about politics, and it's just that...
And it just devolves into a shouting
viral
match.
Yeah, and they come up with things like, oh, well, the KKK was the... You know, you're saying the Republicans are racist, or Republicans aren't helping minorities. Well, look at the Democrats and what they did with the minorities, and they're absolutely right. So I want to... Two things. I want to get into the conversation about what happened. Why... And the bigger conversation is, why did that switch? Because if you're, and if you're listening to this podcast, maybe you are left-winged or right-winged, and someone brings up that point, you can say, okay, yeah, here's why. So we're going to go in, and you, by the end of this podcast, you're going to know exactly why everything happened.
Well, that's awesome. Because again, I had heard that had happened, but I had no idea. I have no idea why. I don't know any of that, the context behind any of that.
Well, here we go, buddy.
I'm really looking forward to this one.
Here we go.
You always have the best. You have the best topics.
So what happened is the platform switched. Okay, so a platform is...
Yeah, let's talk about, like, because that's the other thing, is that, like, I don't specifically, you know, you got the broad strokes of what their platform is, but, you know... Is it really that simple of them just saying we don't believe in this anymore to change their platform? Because in order for them to have swapped, they would have had to both have changed their platforms, hey?
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting. Reading this and getting into it is really interesting how it actually happens. But so what's a platform?
Endlessly...
it wasn't a quick thing. It was a gradual change that happened, and it kind of was a chess moving, like counteracting to...
So was there a certain time period that this all kind of moved in?
Yeah, for sure. But first, let's talk about platform.
Yeah, we'll get there.
A political party's goal is to get elected, okay? And to that's their end goal. They're going to have a set of values and set of beliefs, and hopefully they're going to attract voters to that, okay? And sometimes they're going to say, okay, how can we get into power? Here's what we believe. We have some people, but you know what? Here's a whole group of other people that if we kind of move this or change this or did something to appeal to these people, we're going to get more support. And it's kind of an interesting argument because, you know, how genuine is their, like, the
platform.
Leaders at the top? How genuine is it? Is it,
is it
because that's what these people believe
in? And that's my whole thing with this whole black and white, you know, us against them stuff. Like, if they can literally change their whole platform in a complete 180 swap over, why the hell are you so dead set on this is the way it's gotta be? Like, what the hell, guys?
Yeah. And it's, so that's what a political platform is. And it's not that...
Now, again, and sorry, and then just like, is that stated like every year? Do they kind of apply?
Yeah,
look at their platform every 4 years when they're going to an election or something?
Or 2 years, midterm elections or whatnot. They're going to have a caucus, which is a group of the people.
Okay.
And they're going to say, this is what we're going to kind of stand for.
Oh, okay.
And there's going to be strategical, like, okay, well, you know what? Last election,
we
lost
this. We need to attract these people.
So we got to change our message here, and we got to attract these people, and we got to start putting... So that's what the platform is, okay? So if you look at the early platforms, let's go pre 1900s, okay?
Okay, so the Democratic Party formed in 1792, though?
Yeah, that's when it actually formed, okay? Okay, so, and the Republican Party wasn't there. It was the Whigs at the time, and there was the Federal Party, and there was a couple other ones, too, okay?
Yeah.
And back then, it wasn't just the two parties. There were multiple different parties, and even sometimes you would have two candidates in the same party competing against each other, okay? So, yeah, let's start off. So the Democratic Party formed in 1972, right after people started using the term Republican, associating that with Thomas Jefferson. They would call them Jeffersonian Republicans.
Okay.
They didn't adopt the name Democrats up until 1830. I think they called them Democratic Republicans.
Oh, okay.
So the same.
All right.
In the early days, they comprised mainly of Southern whites who believed that in the Jeffersonian democracy, which means basically believing in the republic, that the republic is of the people, by the people, for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Very much against aristocrats,
like
the formal class, like the higher class.
Yeah.
They didn't believe in that. You know?
Well, that was kind of why they had left Britain in general, was to get away from that whole kings and queens thing.
Now, when you're talking about the civil rights, the Democratic Party from the very start has always been split between the North and the South. The North did not believe in slavery.
So between Northern Democrats and Southern Democrats.
Yeah. The Democrats at the time believed in individual rights, the rights of the states, small government. They were very pro-separation, too, of like states' rights versus control that the federal government had, okay? Contradictory to that, the Republicans at the time were very pro-government. They wanted a big government. They wanted a lot of civil rights. They were pro-getting rid of slavery and putting into rights for former slaves and freedmen. And they wanted to keep the Union together. So very big government. Now, I read an article, and you'll see the links in the show notes there. I don't have it pretty right in front of me here. But the guy said that the fundamental rights of each party really never change. In fact, more with the Republican Party. The Republican Party always favored big business. Because when the Union was expanding, they really wanted, big business wanted infrastructure. They wanted an education system. They wanted people to go out west.
So that they could wanted, pull people from
because
the schools
that
in order
was
to,
beneficial to big business.
Yeah.
Once that was established, and once you had the infrastructure, and once you had all of that stuff in place, they wanted less government. They wanted less regulations. They wanted less of that because that was pro
because that would
big
cut
business
into the profits.
Yeah. So. Republicans have always been big business. Democrats have always been for the people.
Okay, so that aspect hasn't changed. It's just their other platform.
It gets very complicated. I thought this was gonna be another
sure
quick
it's
one.
Been a shifting sea of different beliefs that they've cycled through in order to try to attract people and not alienate others. Wow.
A very gradual shift. Yeah. So contradiction to the Democratic Party, because right now there is just mainly the two parties, the Democratic and Republican, but before that there were more. The Republican Party was founded in 1854, and it was developed to oppose Kansas-Nebraska Act, which essentially allowed the territories to decide the status of black people, essentially African-Americans, either to be free or slaves. So they said, no, we want the federal government to be control of that. So Republicans formed out of the Whigs. The Whigs dissolved. They became the Republicans, and it was essentially to go against this act. So that's where they were just after the Civil War, about 1870. So what caused the switch? So right after the Civil War, the lines were clearly drawn. The governments, again, were for expansive government, pro-civil rights. They came up with the Civil Rights Act of 1866, which gave a lot of rights, mainly the 14th Amendment, which outlined who could vote and that the African Americans had the right to vote.
Yeah, because before that, they didn't. And so that, that law specifically gave them the right to vote, wasn't it?
Yeah, the 14th Amendment.
But women still couldn't vote.
No, come on.
Not the blacks to vote, but women still.
Women. Sorry. I'm very pro-women, by the way.
Yeah,
I think women
too.
Should absolutely.
I think women have better judgment on a lot of that.
And the Democrats, again, were for small government, for state rights, and for freedom from government. Okay, so the switch was gradual. So the article I read said it was between 1872 and 1936. Now that's the main switch. And honestly, it happened up until this last election.
And it's been shifting, you know, back and forth kind of ever since then, too.
Okay, so what are the key things that happened?
Mm-hmm. What are the key things that happened Rich?
I was trying to find what happened in 1872, but I couldn't really find out what it was.
That started the shift, eh?
Yeah, I couldn't find out what it was in 1872. But I know there was a guy named, last name was Brian, and he was really big in the Scopes trial. But he was a Democrat that started advocating for larger government. He was the first one that did that in the House. But in 1890, the Democrats wanted to move to something I'd never heard of this before, the white primaries. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So white primaries were something that happened in the southern states where they said that only white people are allowed to vote for who's going to be in office. They had the white Democratic primaries.
It's kind of what the Republicans are trying to shoot for nowadays with all the gerrymandering, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of...
So I thought that was really interesting, but that was actually ruled unconstitutional in 1994.
So between 1890 and 1944, only white people were allowed to vote
for the Democratic primaries lot of southern states. Yeah.
Oh, because it had been opened up to the states being able to decide whether they would allow them to vote or not.
So they had white primaries, which I read that. I was like, I got to put that in there.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So in 1896, the Democratic Party merged with the People's Party, also known as the Populist Party, and they were highly critical of capitalism. Capitalism, obviously, is something that the Republicans highly favored.
Well, the People's Party would be against capitalism, yeah. It would kinda...
But the main switch happened with trying to win the West, okay? Because now you got to think, like, pre this, we didn't have a lot of states pass, like, you know.
The West hadn't really been settled a whole lot, and so the people that were there weren't really.
Yeah, so what you had happening is you had a lot of people from the East that were unhappy or trying to make it for themselves going out to the West, okay? And they were a lot of times doing it at the benefit of big companies that were still in the East. And a lot of the government subsidies and whatnot, or the government gifts, this article called it, went to those bigger companies. You know, and it did it kind of on the backs of these people that went out to the West that were kind of suffering. So, and it opened up all of this voter blocks, these new voter blocks that happened, and both of them tried to...
So was that kind of the beginning of gerrymandering as we know it, where they would have different blocks of people to...
Yeah, we'll get into like gerrymandering. This didn't happen at the time because you just had a whole new block open up.
Okay. The West, basically.
Yeah. In fact, hang on, let me look up. Gerrymandering started in... No, actually, gerrymandering started way well before that. It started in 18...
Well, as we know it, right? But I mean, like, in terms of...
1812.
Splitting up areas to be able to kind of influence the people that are allowed to vote in that area.
Yeah. That happens, and that's been happening for a long time. It's happening more recently.
But, like, was that kind of maybe the beginnings of the ability of the government party to be able to...
is you had all these people moving out West that were economically strapped and economically, you know, felt a burden. And they felt that the big businesses...
They didn't have the same kind of support out there than the East did.
They felt that the big businesses, the farmers and whatnot, they were being profited off of by the big business out West. And the Democrats exploited this position by starting to talk about funding social programs, aka what you would probably refer to today as entitlements. And the Republicans took the opposite stance because obviously they're protecting big business and whatnot, so they don't want entitlements for farmers and people that are probably needing the entitlements.
Right.
So the Republicans actually did, for about 20 years or so, they kind of both talked about social justice or social reform for all of these people. It wasn't until Calvin...
Specifically trying to win the West over...
Yeah, I mean, both parties were trying to win the West, essentially, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you still had this underlining racial tone, and it wasn't divided by political party. It was divided by location. So the South still had segregation, was a big one. Jim Crow laws, and just lynchings, and a general disdain for people that weren't white. But as far as the big government and the small government, Republicans were, the switch was starting to happen. So it was Calvin Coolidge, who was a Republican in 1920, who was the first one to start talking about smaller governments.
Okay.
And then something happened called the Great Depression. So the Depression happened because essentially banks were being not responsible. I mean, they were...
What? A bank being irresponsible?
They're being
irresponsible.
And people were being irresponsible. They were buying stocks or buying things that they couldn't afford.
What? People being irresponsible? That's crazy.
Completely irresponsible.
And I never would have seen that one coming at all.
So what happened is there was no regulations. Banks were doing whatever. Everyone was making a ton of money. And all of a sudden now all the calls started coming in. You had to pay your loans. Well, no one had the loans. Banks started collapsing. Everything started collapsing. And you had, you know, the Great Depression happen.
Which kind of led us to one of our previous episodes on rules and regulations and why those are important. Did, yes. And, you know, you anyone that tells you the rules and regulations aren't important, well, you can just point them back to the Great Depression.
So everything fell apart and you had, you know, 50%, I think it was more than 50% unemployment. And people were really upset at that this has happened.
They blame the government, basically, for it.
So Franklin Roosevelt proposed, and you probably heard this before, the New Deal.
I have heard of the New Deal, yes.
So the New Deal came in and said, hey, you know what, the banks, we screwed up, we did all this stuff. New Deal here, we're going to put a ton of regulations in. We're going to start extending like unemployment benefits, Social Security. All these things came up in case you lose your job and whatnot, and you're going to be okay. It's called
trying
the New
to
Deal.
Pull control back from the big business.
And that he was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Okay, so a Democrat saying, okay, shit went down.
Who originally would have been completely against that kind of thing? As the Democrats in general were against the...
No, they weren't. Well, I mean, they were against for small government at the time, okay? And the Republicans were for larger government.
Well,
but the
Coolidge
Republicans
was for smaller government.
Yeah, and he was a Republican, right? Yeah, so he was the first one to switch over and said, hey, we're going to do it.
Okay.
And the Republicans started saying, okay, so here's an attractive voter block for us. Mm-hmm. Here's all the people that are now unemployed, lost their entire savings. We could probably gain a large number of votes if we said, let's address their needs.
See, as evidenced by the most recent election and how fear can motivate a lot of voters to vote against their best interests.
Yeah.
Right.
And again, the purpose of the party is to get elected.
Yeah.
Okay. And to appeal to a large number of people. So that's what he did. God. Now, I'm not going to say that Roosevelt was insincere. He probably believed that was the best thing. I can't say that. Yeah, but the purpose of the party was to try to get elected. Mm-hmm. So they put in a lot of regulations on banking, regulations on currency, and the Republicans opposed that. They said, in fact, that what Roosevelt was doing was simply turning millions of Americans into government employees. And the Republicans claimed it was a large government overreach by, you know, regulating how the banks worked and regulating how currency worked, putting in and dedicating money to Social Security and dedicating money to unemployment benefits. So that's when the switch started to happen, okay? But you still have a racial switch. So
the Democrats were still kind of pro-slavery.
More people that were not pro-slavery, maybe, but pro-segregation for sure would have aligned with the Democrats.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Slavery had already been kind of abolished, so now they tried the new version of it, which is the slavery.
And they were still, very much for individual rights and for, you know, kind of doing what you want to do. They started getting into a bit more of government's money going to things. Okay, and they're still going to start losing people here. But what happened is in 1954 was Brown versus the Boards of Education. Are you familiar with this case?
Again, I believe I've heard of it.
Most people have, okay?
Yeah.
So Brown versus the Boards of Education was about a girl in the third grade that had to walk miles to her school through like railroads and, you know, miles to the school, essentially.
Uphill both ways.
Maybe not that. But she had to walk miles. And there was another school that was 7 blocks away. Mm. But she couldn't attend that school because that was a whites-only school, and she had to go to the blacks-only school.
Right. Okay.
So Brown versus Board of Education, and Democrats, Southern Democrats, obviously opposed this because they were pro-segregation. But Northern Democrats said, no, this is hurting us. This is hurting our brand because, honestly, most people in America at this time in mid-50s, they're not as they were in the mid-1800s. Mm-hmm. You know, you're losing support here. So the Northern Democrats said, this is hurting our brand. We shouldn't be supporting this. Southern Democrats said, no, screw you guys. Segregation is the only way to go. Mm-hmm. So the Supreme Court ruled for Brown in an 8-1 vote. So that ended segregation. And then you could go to any school you wanted
so
to go to.
So that was the one thing that basically federally they decided that segregation
it went to the Supreme
was
Court,
technically
for sure.
kind of the same thing as slavery.
Not slavery, but
well,
not,
yeah, whatever the motivation actually equal. Ended up being.
Okay. They called it separate but equal, and it was not separate but equal. Mm-hmm. I mean, the white schools clearly got a better deal out of it.
More funding.
Yeah, and a girl in third grade have to walking miles to go to school when there's a school 7 blocks away. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So what happened as a result of that is there was the Southern Manifesto that happened in 1956, and that was written by Strong Thurmond, who I didn't realize. I mean, he was in Congress when I was in high school and
See,
later.
That name, I recognize that name for sure.
Yeah. So the Southern Manifesto basically was in strict opposition to Brown versus the Board of Education. It was signed by 99 Democrats and 2 Republicans, all in the Southern states. The Northern states, the Northern Democrats and Northern Republicans would not sign it. And it said, this unwarranted exercise, this is an interesting quote, by the way, Aaron.
Yeah.
This was written in the Southern Manifesto. About the desegregation, okay? And this, just to show you how righteous people think they are, okay? Listen to this quote.
Well, that's once you decide that you're right, you'll defend that.
So they're saying that blacks and whites can go to school together. This unwarranted exercise of power by the court, contrary to the Constitution, is creating chaos and confusion in the states principally affected. It is destroying the amicable relations between the whites and Negro races that have been created through 90 years of patient effort by the good people of both races. It has planted hatred and suspicion where there has theretofore friendship and understanding. I don't think that the black people in the same area would agree with Strong Thurmond. But that was...
So this was in order for them to continue segregation.
Yeah. So they signed the Southern Manifesto, which was signed by 99 Democrats, 2 Republicans in the Southern states. There was 3 people that did not sign this.
And this was 1956.
But this was...
Like, that's,
I know,
that
right?
That blows my mind. Like, that seems
wasn't
like
that far
an 1800s
away.
Kind of thing that they
Strong
were doing
Thurmond,
this kind of...
Who was...
Like, yeah.
He died in like the mid-90s.
That was still... Yeah. Oh my...
God. He was...
I can't even...
But three Southern Democrats inside. So this was just Southern people, okay? This was not Democrats and Republicans. Only it was populated by the Democrats. This was just the Democrats, or the South. Three Southern Democrats did not sign this bill. One was Lyndon Johnson. The other was Al Gore Sr., father of Al Gore.
Wow.
And then another guy named
Estes
Kefauver.
Kefauver?
Sure. That's a good name. Also from Tennessee.
We apologize to Estes Kefauver for
mutilating his name. We
Okay.
apologize. Yeah, we got the Al Gore and the Lyndon Johnson.
Exactly. Though, so. Those we got.
So Lyndon Johnson is someone you probably recognize.
Yes.
He became president. So what happened is Kennedy was assassinated in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
And Lyndon Johnson became president. He's one of the ones that did not sign the Southern Manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Lyndon Johnson, for most of his career, he advocated for the same thing as a Republican or a Democrat does or a politician does, is they have to follow what their base says.
What the platform of the party is,
yeah.
Basically.
So Eisenhower put forth a couple... or a civil rights bill. And Lyndon Johnson was the main one that opposed it. And because of him, it got diluted. It was civil rights in 1950.
So he didn't sign the Southern...
No, he didn't sign the Southern Manifesto. But he still fought against civil rights.
Huh.
Okay? But he always thought it was morally wrong. I read one of his articles.
He disagreed with the Civil Rights Act in general, but he was still not necessarily...
He thought it was morally wrong. Like, he thought that the Brown versus the Board of Education was wrong. It was damaging the brand. He was one of the people. He would not sign the Southern Manifesto. He still...
But he was a Democrat, so
but
that
he was
kinda,
Democrat.
That was
he was a Southern Democrat. He had to go along with what the Southern Democrats said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he actually diluted Eisenhower's 1950 Civil Rights Act, and Eisenhower was quite pissed at that.
Mm-hmm. But Lyndon Johnson was president, so...
So what happened is, it was Kennedy. Kennedy, you know, was really for civil rights, and he was assassinated. So Lyndon Johnson kind of took that and, I don't know, kind of ran with it and kind of, you know, wanted to carry on.
Well, he probably saw how popular that was with the people in general, right? I mean, you start talking about civil rights and everybody goes, wait, we have rights?
Right? Well, it was
and
a good
that's
way.
Got to start some sort of, you know, thought process in people in general.
So he put in the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And they gained many black voters, and that pretty much cemented the 14th Amendment, okay? Mm-hmm. And that really kind of pissed off a lot of Southern Democrats. This bill was sponsored by Mike Mansfield, who was a Democrat, and Eric Dirksen, who was a Republican.
Okay.
And Lyndon Johnson passed the bill, and that cemented the voting rights, like I said, in the 14th Amendment. And then in 1968... Lyndon Johnson adopts the Civil Rights Act as part of his platform, and then he loses essentially all of the Southern Democrats. So all these Southern Democrats who were being very pro-segregation and pro-KKK and pro, we're not too crazy about the black folk, now they're without a party. And Lyndon Johnson actually, you know, signed in the Civil Rights Act of 1968, and he said that because Kennedy was assassinated, that's probably the reason it was got pushed through, because he had enough Southern votes, enough Southern Republican votes, to push the bill through, and it wasn't diluted like it was with Eisenhower's. So because of Kennedy's assassination, Lyndon Johnson's kind of moral compass, that's the reason that most of the Southern Democrats left the party.
Hmm. Well, it was kind of obvious when he was assassinated that it was due to his stance on the civil rights.
No, a lot of people think it was his stance, his weak stance on communism, mm-hmm. on Cuba. I mean, there was a whole Bay of Pigs.
I'm sure there's been documentaries.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a whole other thing. Like, who actually killed him? Was it Lee Harvey Oswald or was it somebody else? But
the man on the grassy knoll.
He was big on civil rights. Mm-hmm. And during that time, it was a lot of turmoil. You got Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, yeah. and whatnot. I mean, civil rights was a big thing. And Lyndon Johnson said, okay, let's do this. We're doing the civil rights thing. Let's get on board with it. And all of a sudden, the Democrats were gone. So where'd they go? Well, Richard Nixon, in his presidential run, said, hey, you know what? There's a whole bunch of Southern people here that need a party. So he came up with the Southern Strategy. And all of those Southern Republicans or Southern Democrats that were, you know, left the party because of the Civil Rights Act, they joined the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you see now.
So that was kind of the finalizing of the swap over, or?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that kind of cemented it because now they have a home, and now we have the Republican Party. They're now talking the language that they're into. They're talking about small government. Mm-hmm. They're talking about individual rights mm-hmm. over the government taking control on you. They're talking about, you know, things that are important to them. Mm-hmm. And then you get into the whole conversation about mass incarceration
yeah.
and, you know, Ronald Reagan's war on drugs. I mean, the whole change goes up all the way up into even Bill Clinton's scandal with Monica Lewinsky. You know, how you're kind of getting away from that because that Southern base is very religious.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And you're taking, so, and even in this last election with Donald Trump, I mean, it's even, the transition's gone on that long,
mm-hmm.
is now you're really polarizing and you're talking about fear and you're talking about minorities and they're going to come and, you know, ISIS. So the entire process has just been ongoing. It's not mm-hmm. been one switch that's happened.
No, and it was a kind of general or a gradual changeover of the principles of the platform.
Mm-hmm. But one thing that has remained consistent is that Republicans have always been for big business
mm-hmm.
and the Democrats have always been for individual rights
mm-hmm.
Or the rights of the little person. So it's an interesting, you know, in a general sense. I mean, things
change.
Well,
I mean, being that the Democrats were pro-slavery, I don't know if that's individual choice.
True,
but
yeah.
I think it was more like you said about the businesses in general, their yeah. stance on businesses and how that relates to governmental regulation.
An argument would be made that Republicans aren't a racist. And I'd agree with that. I mean, not all Republicans are racist, but you still have that yeah. Southern bloc.
Mm-hmm.
That very much still is. I mean, you still
And I go down to the fundamental nature of humanity in that I mean, our brains are designed to make those distinctions, right? Like if your skin is a different color than mine, our brains automatically go into that us against them mode, right? Like you're automatically someone different because genetically, you know, our brain looks at a different skin color and goes, technically, you're not a match for me genetically.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that automatic bias that we all kind of have to fight against, sure, in order to recognize that, you know, we're all the same people, mm-hmm, here. And it doesn't mean that you're any different or any less of a person than me just because, yeah, your skin's a different color. You, yeah, come from a different, you know, we're all really just, you know, the same kind of humanity.
Yeah, we are. But also,
to varying degrees.
I read somewhere said something like your first initial reaction to seeing someone of a different color is your, I don't know,
curiosity,
what it was. Yeah, or just your evolution or whatnot. And it, but it's the your response,
mm-hmm,
how you handle that is who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to be, oh yeah, there's, you know, I shouldn't be nervous around this person, or shouldn't, and how you treat them. That's who you are as a person, mm-hmm, or your upbringing. Your first one is just that natural kick in, mm-hmm, evolution.
And, you know, there was a study that showed that, you know, phobias make an actual like change in your DNA that's passed on to your offspring.
Yeah.
So whether that like viewpoint might be something that might actually be a genetic trait that could actually be passed on, whether you might be genetically more predisposed to seeing a difference in skin color, right? Mm-hmm. Like whether your brain might actually just have those triggers programmed into them in a, you know, a higher concentration than other people do, specifically because your ancestors,
yeah,
you know, were raised that way, yeah, and were brought up in that, you know, mindset that we were better than them and blah, 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 right? And yeah, you know, whether that might actually make physiological changes to your DNA or to your, you know, who you're passing on to your kids.
And who knows, maybe in 100 years from now, we won't even have that initial reaction.
I would hope so, right? I mean, again, we come down to the, right? I mean, we all come from different places, but it doesn't mean that we're not all, you know, trying to make the same thing. We all just want to be happy. We all just want our kids to have something better than we did.
Okay, so gerrymandering. We talked about gerrymandering,
yes,
okay? So if you don't know what gerrymandering is, that comes from a guy named Elbridge Gerry, which was a Democratic Republican, so a Democrat.
So Gerry, mm, mandered up, and that's where the term actually came.
Yeah, so Gerry, because what it was is he redrew his district, okay? Yeah. And a guy named that Brian guy, it wasn't him, it was somebody else. Didn't write down, but looked at it and said, that looks like a salamander.
Huh.
So that's where the name gerrymandering came from. It came from the guy's name, Gerry, and then
meandered,
salamander.
Gerry meandering.
No, he said, that's what he said. Oh, that looks like a salamander. Because
how
he drew
okay,
it,
okay.
It looked like a salamander on it. So, oh, that's gerrymandering. So that's where the term gerrymandering comes from.
All these words that just come from just like, blah.
But what it is it's redesigning or reformatting a congressional district, mm-hmm, to favor your party. So if you're
cutting out the people that vote against you.
Yeah, exactly. So if you had, you know, one demographic would typically vote Republican and one demographic would vote Democratic,
mm-hmm,
you can slice those districts up where you had 80% Republican and 20% Democratic in like four of those parties or four, mm-hmm, of those districts. And then, mm-hmm, one district you had 100% Republican, mm-hmm, or whatever, Democratic. And then that way you win the district 4-1,
mm-hmm,
or you get four people in office
If there were 10 districts available and you cut it up so that all of the Democrats were in one district.
Yeah.
Then you win by having those other 9 districts.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
By cutting out, and you could, yeah, lay those lines however you felt like,
yeah,
in order to specifically cut out those, yeah, specific. Oh, geez.
And some of those, I mean, if you look up.
I don't
up,
know what could go wrong with that kind of.
Well, it's
process.
Just. It's cheating the system is what it is.
Well, that literally, that does sound like it, that sounds like drawing your, right? These are the rules that I'm going to live under.
But it went to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court upheld it, but they said you can't do it based on race. If you do it based on race,
well, no, you can't do it specifically by saying I'm doing this because I want race to be.
But there seems to be some loose rules against it. And so gerrymandering happens, and it's basically a tool that Republicans use to us, because if they're controlling the House or they're controlling the Senate or whatever's in the body that will approve these things, if they control everything, they can slice up the districts any way they want. And then the next election, they say, okay, great, we got this locked down because, you know, we rigged the deck of cards and now we're going to win. You know, so that happens. Also, voter identification laws. Right now, there are 33 states that have voter identification laws, which means you have to show up with ID in order to vote, which isn't, you know, a terrible thing, but that favors Republicans more than it does Democrats, because Democratic Party is going to be the party of poor people and the party of people that may not have the ability to go and get a driver's license. I mean, if you look, a lot of homeless guys or people that are, you know, living in hostels or whatnot,
you need to have an address.
Yeah, they're not going to have ID on them. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, a rich guy or someone doing well off is, and someone doing well off is more likely to vote Republican than someone that's struggling.
Someone well off is probably more part of a big business than.
So there's 12 states that are considered to have strict requirements. And this favors Republicans. So my whole purpose of this thing is to look at it from a broader perspective, okay? And kind of gets outside the party lines and try to understand where the other people are coming from. So if you see someone that says, hey, your party, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, is a party of the Ku Klux Klan, and the party, you know, the Republican Party is the party of the Abe Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation, mm-hmm. you can say, yeah, it certainly was, but you're not anymore. Mm-hmm. And here's why you're not anymore. Because, you know, 100 years of history has happened and civil rights movement happened. The Democrats supported that. The Southern Democrats, they jumped ship. The Republicans says, hey, here's a whole bunch of people that we can get to vote. So let's start changing our message to support them. And you get the current political climate. And it's very polarized.
Like yeah, right, and becoming more polarized as we go. It seems to just, right? It's
and I blame a lot.
It seems to be more the kind of the fear-based, you know. It's like you said, it's that the party is only there to get elected.
Yeah.
And so they seem to be, like the Republicans especially, this whole last election was all about, you know, just fanning the fears of flame or mm-hmm. fanning the flames of fear. There it is. Yes, fanning the flames of fear, and just, you know, stoking that to the point where, you know, you really were, anyone that was disagreeing with your viewpoint was the enemy.
Well, I think it's that, and I think it's also honestly social media mm-hmm. and different media outlets coming up. We have Tommy Lauren. Take Alex Jones. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Ann Coulter. You got this Dan O'Donnell guy. These blogs popping up. These radio talk show hosts that just
screaming at the camera. The worst.
I mean, this Dan O'Donnell guy who's preaching that you don't know your history. Well, Dan, you don't know your history, because do some freaking research on that and find out why was the Democratic Party the party of the KKK, mm-hmm. and why aren't they anymore? And why maybe the KKK is going to vote Republican these days? Well, do some research on that, Dan, and stop spitting this stuff for the sole purpose of getting clicks and views and likes and whatnot.
That's the problem, is that, you know, they're more interested in, like, the screaming sells more than research, right? And it's not about sounding smart. It's not about knowing what you're talking about. It's about screaming louder. And if somebody, you know, gets in your face with actual facts, you deny, deny, deny. Mm-hmm. Right. And try to obfuscate and try to, you know,
but
twist
also,
the words around and tweak it so that it, you know, says what you want it to say.
And, but it's also looking at a specific set of facts and not looking at the entirety of the facts. I mean, mm-hmm. taking the fact, like what Dan is saying is absolutely right, is the Democratic Party was a party of the KKK. This Megan Phelps girl says that, you know, God said that all gays should be punished and killed. The missing the part about repentance. Dan's missing the part about what happened after 1870. Is looking at the bigger picture for things and trying to seeing what context that lies in. And if you believe strongly in something, you're probably only going to look at things that are going to further support your position.
Well, going back to the previous podcast on dendrites and how with religious people, when they do brain scans, they've shown that they actually have very strong neural connections.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. The more you defend those beliefs, the harder it is to think outside of those beliefs and try to assimilate new ideas as they come in that might contradict those kind of things.
The bumblebee? Oatmeal. Sorry, the oatmeal had a great, you're familiar with the site, The Oatmeal? You gotta check it out. If you haven't checked out The Oatmeal, go to The Oatmeal. They had this great, and it's all cartoons, but they had this great argument on their cartoon, it's all done in cartoons, about your reaction to beliefs and to what's true.
Mm-hmm.
Like came up with George Washington had wooden teeth, right? That's the thing. George Washington had wooden teeth. And what if I told you that George Washington's teeth weren't wooden, they were made from iron? And you'd be like, okay, that's interesting. I always thought he had wooden teeth. And then he said, what if I told you that George Washington's teeth were actually made from other slaves' teeth? And if you were a patriot and you thought as highly of George Washington, your reaction to that would be far stronger than your reaction to him having something other than wood. And it goes on to talking about how, what your reaction is to your core beliefs, you know, and how you know, you kind of shut down and you get angry because you feel like your belief system is being attacked by that. And you kind of shut down kind of all logic in your head and you start only picking up facts that are going to further support your argument rather than open up your mind to it. That's why I was so fascinated by the Megan Phelps podcast, because here's someone that went her entire life being told only one thing.
And actually was able to change her mind.
Yeah.
And
just by people on Twitter saying, hey, but what about this?
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, wow, you know what? I did not even consider this.
Mm-hmm.
Because she put up those signs saying, God hates fags, which is an incredibly offensive sign. And she was defending it. She was defending it for most of her life.
Well, and they actually, like, they'll say things like they believe that the gays cause floods. And the gays cause...
Well, they say that God is like punishing.
Exactly. God is punishing us because of the gays are allowed to marry now. Yeah. And so they're bringing on the floods and they're bringing the heat waves and the locusts are on their way.
And that's why they protest soldiers' funerals because a soldier died defending the country and it was God was punishing the country.
Yeah.
So it's why it says, thank God for 15 dead soldiers and horrible things. But she was arguing with someone on Twitter, and the guy on Twitter said, well, Jesus also said, he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
And she would say what she was programmed to say, we're not casting stones, we're just preaching words. And then he said, but you're advocating that the government cast stones.
Yeah.
And she said, I couldn't. That just blew my mind because I never even considered that. Something as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And with another one where someone threw into her face that one of the church members had a baby out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sin.
Yeah.
And then their response was, well, the Bible is about repentance. It's not about this.
And that, right?
And then someone says to you, well, then how can, you know, all fags deserve to die, which is a sign you're saying. If someone commits a sin, you kill them right away. How can they repent?
Yeah.
And she was like, good point.
Yeah, right.
And that caused just that
kernel of doubt.
Good for her to start to consider, just even considering the other side rather than other family members in her, like, just programmed to just, nope, shut that off. And I'm just keeping on because these are the four verses that we've preached and we're only going to listen to these four verses.
See, and that's what had gotten me out of religion in the first place was coming across those kind of logical errors, as far as I was concerned, where, you know, you were told to believe this, but everything you see obviously leads to a different conclusion, right?
So that's what it is. I mean, that's kind of my purpose of this thing here is, like, you know what? Look at the bigger picture for things. Like, I've seen that argument so many times, especially in this last election, about how the Democratic Party was the one that enslaved people.
And it's all black and white, and this is how it must be.
Yeah, and, you know, people just angry, all cap locks because they're super smart. And, you know, just screaming at you. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's just screaming facts at you. Facts without context.
Facts or fucks. Yeah.
Yeah, one or the other. But here's, I mean, so here's the facts behind it all. That's why I want to do this podcast. Like, yeah. Here's the facts. This is why the Democratic Party was that. This is why it's now into this situation. Here's the facts that lead up to exactly why we are now. So if you have that conversation with someone, you can say, hey, New Deal happened. You know,
and Brown in the versus end, there is no black and white. It's all just shifting shades of gray, yeah. Right? Yeah. And what they believe now could easily be changed in literally what 20 years, 40 years. They changed yeah. completely yeah. black from black yeah. to white, yeah. and now white could be black and yeah. white can
and could switch back. Who knows?
And you could switch it back entirely, yeah. and very soon the Democrats could be the you know, yeah. oh, we're pro slavery again. I guess that's just how it's going to be.
So any takeaways from this is a North and South issue, not a Democrat Republican issue. And whoever's trying to appeal to those votes in those areas are the ones that are going to, you know, people that are going to be white supremacists and pro segregation, which, you know, probably still happens. They're going to be the ones that are going to be voting for whatever party is trying to appeal to them. And it's not the party per se.
You vote for what you hopefully yeah. believe in, right? Whether that's for the best or not.
So, I don't believe that all Republicans are racist by any stretch of the imagination. I think anyone that votes for Donald Trump is okay with racism. I don't believe they're all racist.
There seem to be some sort of acceptance.
I know people that vote for Donald Trump that I know for a fact they're not racist. I know them and they're good people. But I still say, you know what, if you must be at least be okay with it. You must be okay with Americans being afraid. And if you're okay with that, then okay, good luck. So that's all I got. That's the
we'll end,
that's
we'll
the
end it there with just a little bit of the ominous, unqualified fear that seems to be gripping a lot of the political atmosphere as we speak.
So now hopefully you guys all learned something about the Democratic and Republican parties, why they switched. If we've left anything out or there's something else we should talk about this, please let us know on our Facebook page. Is Learn Me Something on Facebook, or you can get us on Twitter at Learn Me Something Pod. We'd love some feedback.
I think how we can start to dispel some of the fear is by dispelling some of our ignorance, hopefully. Mm. And hopefully this allowed everybody to get past of the little bit of the, us against them mentality that we're chipping yeah. away with.
Reach out to us.
I think is our whole thing here. And yeah.
Yeah, tell us what you think. Please don't do it in all cap locks with a whole bunch of exclamations at the end of it, with like a whole bunch, you idiot.
Well, you could. You do it in all yeah. caps locks, but I mean, do it as a happy, like, you guys are yeah. awesome, all in caps locks. I'm totally cool with that.
Try to do, a happy sure. comment. Even
you
if
you can yell at us all you want, as long as it's a happy, happy yelling.
Put a smiley face at the end.
Sure.
It's not going to kill you. Okay, so that's all we got for this week.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And as always, Florian Dendrite, may your brain cells flourish.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Learn Me Something with Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum on Hologram Radio. If you like the podcast, please rate and subscribe in iTunes and share it with a friend. To find other interesting podcasts like this one, please visit our website at hologramradio.org.